Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We'll ask His blessings over the service. Father, we love You so much, God, and we thank You, Lord, for just today again. We always are so grateful and so thankful for the day that You've given us, God, that we might wake up. And the Bible says that You visit each one of us every morning before we wake. And Father, life is breathed into us, and we thank You, Lord, that You've given us another day to serve You, to worship You, God, to grow closer to You. And Father, we thank You for all those who've come out today. Father, we just pray today, God, that You would change our lives. Father, this would not be a day that we come to church to see other people or to get something. Father, emotional, but God, this would be a day that we are changed forever, Father, that something that You say through the Word of God that would change our lives today, and we're thanking You for that. God, we lift up the prayer request to You today, Father. We're lifting up Tina, Father, that the rock bottom will be raised there, Father, and that You would open her eyes to see the life that she's headed for. And God, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would go convict her in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for the family, that You would lift them up, lift their spirits this morning, Father. Give them peace and joy to know that You are on the way for rescue, Father. You are coming to do something in Tina's life, and God, we're just praying favor and blessings over them. God, we pray for Julie, Father. You know the need there and what needs to go on. Father, we just pray that You would surround her with love and peace, and Father, give her the spirit of joy. And we're thanking You for that, Father. We're praising You for the praise reports. God, we thank You so much, Lord, that You hear our cries and You answer our prayers. And God, especially a child and somebody who is in pain and hurting, God, it is Your will, Father, that we should be healthy. And we're thanking You for that. God, we're praying, Father, this morning for Melissa, God, as she goes to court on January the 14th. God, we know it is Your will that mother should have her babies back. And we're thanking You, Father, for that victory right now in Jesus' name. And we're agreeing upon it. Where two or more come together and agree in Your name, agree upon anything, it shall be done. And we're agreeing this morning, Father, that those babies are back in her hands, and we're thanking You for that, God, that restoration is there. Father, again, we pray Your will be done today in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We had an exciting service where David come forward last week and said that he had thought he was saved, or everybody else thought he was saved for 10 years of his life. He was even a youth pastor. But he came to the altar last weekend and got saved. Amen. He come to repentance. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. That's what it's about right there. It was exciting, man. When he came walking up that aisle, I thought, man, what's going on with David this morning? Something's different about him when he's walking up that aisle. And he said, man, I've been living a lie, Scott. And I said, well, let's get it right, David. And he said, man, I never repented. I said that prayer that everybody told me to say when I was 18, but I never repented of my sins, amen. I never completely surrendered my life. And so he gave his life to the Lord, and we had our salvation last week, so that was exciting, and praise God for that. And so we did find out what was the first step in God's will for your life is to be saved. It's His will that none should perish. Not one of these should perish. And so the step number two, if you got your, does everybody get your notes? Do they pass them out? They passed them out. Okay, now look, I typed these notes, so don't be making fun of them, okay? I'm no computer expert or whatever you want to call it. I typed these, and there's probably, huh? Hey, that explains it exactly. And there might be some, I'm sure there's some spelling errors in there, and so I know there's grammatical errors all in it, but man, I did it really fast, and because I was trying to get this, you know, the studying and the word done right first, and then I top it up for you guys, so because you could write it if we had to. But step number two right there is to be filled with the Spirit. Can you say filled with the Spirit? Amen. Filled with His Spirit. Now, what I'm preaching this morning is a Pentecostal message. It is a Baptist message. It is a Methodist message. It is all of them combined in one. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. Come on. This is one for all of them. And I'm going to lay it out there in a way. This is going to be preached different than Pentecostals, but it's going to be preached different than anybody else. But I'm going to lay Scripture out there for you and show that you've got to be Spirit-filled to walk in God's will for your life. Can you say amen? I listened to the sermon from last week, and again, are we live again today? I didn't think about that. Well, everybody on the count of three say hey to our live audience. One, two, three. Hey, we are live across the world right now on the internet, thanks to Josh. It's so exciting. Every time I'm just like, ooh, that's so cool. So we are live, and that's exciting. We thank you for joining us today. I listened to it last week and went back to live, which is really cool because now I can critique myself, and I'm bad critic on myself. And so I'm like, man, I'm country, dude. Man, I've never heard it like that. I'm so country. And then I throw that Ebonics in there with some of that white boy Ebonics, you know what I mean, or whatever they call it, some of that gangster stuff, you know what I mean, from the old school. And I'm like, dude, I sound crazy, man. I sound a little stupid, but hey, that's me, and I don't want to change for nobody, amen? Jesus loves me. Can you say amen? That's what I was listening to every time I'd say, can you say amen? Can you say amen? That was so funny. I just had everybody saying amen all the time. But hey, amen, that means I'm in agreement with, amen? And so to be Spirit-filled, to be filled with the Spirit. And we're going to preach this today, and I'm going to show you Scripture that says you need to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about whether you think baptism of the Holy Spirit or whether you think initial receiving of the Holy Spirit when you're saved. But I'm going to lay it all out there this morning and show you that you need to be either way you want to look at it. Amen. And whether you're on the air this morning and what you think and what your beliefs are, I'm going to show you that you need to be. So let's go to Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21. And as you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and... Actually, no, I'm not. I changed my mind. I'm going to go ahead and wait on that one. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21. It says it like this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Woo! Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if you look up the word unwise, does anybody know what it means? Somebody tell me. Stupid. That's what it says. I didn't say it. The concordance said it. It means stupid. He said don't be stupid in understanding what God's will is. Now, I'll bring it back to a more comfortable word, I guess. Man, y'all don't be confused or ununderstanding in God's will for your life. It's in the Word of God. Amen. It's right here in the Word of God. And just because the concordance says don't be stupid, I won't say don't be stupid. But we'll say that it says don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation. I can't say that word, dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, right there in verse 18, he says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He's just right before that saying what the will of the Lord is, and he goes on, he says, but don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. We touched on that scripture last week, and some scripture that I touched on this week are going to be repeats of last week. And I want you to turn to John 14:16. I'm about to show you something that's really amazing. John 14:16, we've got a lot of scripture to cover and skipping around. Romans 8:9 says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. What does that mean? That means if you accept Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord comes to live with you. Amen. We know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So the day that you come to the altar and you accept Christ, that means the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. At that point, at salvation, the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of you, because Christ could not dwell in your heart if it were not for the Spirit, because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Are you with me this morning? Okay, amen. So that means Christ is dwelling in our hearts. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. John 14:16. Why is this? Because Jesus said it right here. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now, you'll see in your notes, I broke it down, and this is what was in that pamphlet. So amazing as I studied it to make sure. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Greek words, there's two Greek words for the word another. One is heteros, which means another of a different kind. And the other word is elos, another exactly the same. What that means is if you come up, and I touched on this last week, but if I come up and I ask you to give me a Bible, a heteros Bible, okay, and I say, give me a heteros Bible, which means another Bible. That means you would just go and grab any Bible that's out there right now in the congregation, and you would bring me that Bible. But if I tell you to bring me elos Bible, which means another Bible, the same thing, but if I tell you in the word elos, I would tell you to bring me an exact Bible just like mine. That means you have to have the same engravings, the same leather covering, the same name imprinted on it, everything exactly the same as my Bible. What was Jesus saying? Come on, somebody. I know you're with me. Somebody wants to shout it out, but you're too shy this morning. What was Jesus saying? I need another helper. Who's the other helper? The Holy Spirit, which is exactly like him. Amen? Y'all better wake up this morning. Somebody, there you go. Shake it off. Wake up this morning. Now, what he's saying? God's going to send you another helper that's exactly like me. that you're going to be able to walk just like me. You're going to be able to talk just like me and do the things. Remember in John, he said, greater things that I've done, you're going to do. Amen. I expect you. Jesus said, I expect you to do greater things than I've done. Can you say amen? We're going to turn to Matthew 14, 22 and 23. I'm going to touch on just real quick on these. I've already talked about this 2 weeks ago when I was sick. And so I went back over it last week or going to go back over it this week. I went over some of it last week. But we're talking about when Jesus is walking with you and how important it is that Jesus is walking with you. But how can Jesus walk with us right now? Are y'all awake this morning? Y'all didn't eat your Wheaties this morning, did you? Holy Spirit, that's how Jesus walks with you every day, through the Holy Spirit. We're going to go through this. I'm going to lay it all out there. I'm going to get you woke up in a minute, I promise. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now what happens here is they're in the boat and Jesus is away from them. Jesus is walking on the water. He's away from them and their faith is where? Down. They don't have much faith, do it. But when they're walking right beside Jesus, they were healing people, casting out demons, and they're all walking with Jesus, and these things are happening. But see, they're in the boat, and Jesus is over there, and the storm comes, and what happens? They begin to doubt. We're scared. We're fearful. There's a ghost. But you see, then Peter, when he says, it's Jesus says, it's me, I don't want you to be afraid, it's me. And Peter don't even think about the fact that there's any water there. Peter just says, Lord, I'm finna come over there with you. Lord, tell me to come over there. Don't even think about it. Is the question, does it say in there that he got out, looked at the water, thought, oh, wait a minute. All right, Lord, can I come over there? No. He didn't even think about it. He just steps out and says, Lord, I'm coming over there. He steps out of the boat and starts to walk on water. Doesn't even think about his surroundings. Doesn't think about anything. He wants to be beside Jesus. Can you say amen? 14, we're going to Matthew 16, 16. Just flip over one chapter there, two chapters. 16, 16. Might have to start, we'll start in 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You see right there, he's asking the fellas, he's saying, hey, who do men say that I am? Well, some say Elijah, some say, the prophets, some say that you are John the Baptist. And he says, well, who do you think I am? Peter don't think twice about it. You're the Son of the Most High God. You're Jesus, man. You're the Christ. And then he looked and he's sitting there. Can you see Peter thinking, man, what was that about? Where did that answer come from? Everybody else is answering these crazy questions or these crazy answers. And I'm answering, you're Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. And you see then right there, it looks at him and Jesus says, blessed are you, son of Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. You see, there was a special revelation to him right there. There was a special revelation because what? He was right beside Jesus. You see, when we're walking with Jesus, we get revelation, amen? We get those answers that we don't sometimes know. Can you say amen? When we're walking with Jesus and Jesus is in our life, we get those answers, that revelation. Let's move on real quick. John 18:10. Turn with me there. I told you we're going to be flipping back and forth. I got a lot to cover and I'm going to be speaking fast though. That's when I get all tongue twisted and start sounding all country, but that's funny to me. I like going back and listening to it. I'll make myself laugh sometimes. John 18:10. I didn't even go to the right chapter. Hallelujah. John 18:10. He says, then Simon Peter, having the sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane when the officers, they're fixing to come arrest Jesus and take him to be put on the cross. Amen. They're coming, and this is when he had been betrayed. And the first thing, what does it say right there? It says, now, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. You see, he's right beside Jesus again. He's sitting there right beside Jesus, not away from him, but right beside him. And all the other fellas is around. But when somebody comes to attack Jesus, he don't think twice about it. Draws that sword and chops off his ear. Because why? He's walking with Jesus. Amen. He's right beside him. He's walking in the Lord's power. He's right beside him, not far away from him. And then we know that Peter denies him three times. How many times? Three times. We can go into that scripture. Everybody in this house knows it, that Peter denies him three times. Now, why is that? He just chopped some dude's ear off walking in the power. He just walked on water. He's done all these things, mighty exploits with the Lord, and now he's denying him three times before the people. Huh? He was scared. He was afraid. Why? Walking with Jesus. Y'all getting it this morning. Y'all waking up now. Praise God. He was walking with Jesus the rest of the time. He was not right beside him. Now you're saying, man, if I'm 100 feet from Jesus, does that mean I'm in trouble? Man, 1 foot will get you in trouble. 1 foot away from Jesus will get you in trouble. How do we walk with Jesus? The Spirit, amen. That's all good answers. Those are all good answers, but through the Spirit, amen. Jesus, well, it's testing questions this morning, making sure you're still awake, because y'all ain't screaming and hollering. Now, I'm doing all the screaming and hollering, so I'm going to ask you questions to make sure. You see, it's because we got to walk with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We got to be Spirit-filled to walk with Jesus. Now, we'll go over to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Verse 4, chapter 2, says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And then we know that Peter preaches the sermon and thousands get saved. You see, but now, wait a minute. Jesus is not with him. So how is that possible? Hallelujah! Somebody got one. Babe, that's what I'm talking about. But Jesus had just died and went into heaven. Jesus is now in heaven. So how has he all of a sudden got this same power? Because right there in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Amen? Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus said, my Father's going to send you another helper just like me. Just like me. He's going to do all the things that I did, and you're going to do more. Amen? Because he's just like me. The same power, the same word, everything just like me. When I leave and go to the Father, Daddy's going to send him to you. Amen? He's going to be there to help you. And look what happens. Peter goes, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he comes in, and they go preaching, and thousands get saved the first day. Amen? Can you say hallelujah? There we go. We're waking up this morning. Listen to this. We possess the Spirit. You'll see it right there in your notes, about halfway down. We possess the Spirit upon salvation, but it is one thing to possess the Spirit, and it's another thing to be filled with the Spirit. So how do we get filled? Can somebody answer that? How do we get filled with the Spirit? Luke 11:13. I love it. Y'all are too afraid to answer. You don't want to mess up. I'm listening. It's up here. Y'all thinking about it, but you ain't answering. Luke 11:13. He says, if you then believe, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's all you got to do is ask Him. Hallelujah. Father, I want the Holy Spirit to dwell in me, but not just dwell in me. I want all of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm getting somewhere this morning. Some of you raised in the way I was, you're thinking, man, I can't believe he's preaching this like this. I'm going to go tell my daddy. Listen to me, and you on the air, y'all better listen to me and go all the way with me this morning. Right there in your notes, what does filled mean? Now, we're looking it up in the concordance, not what we think filled means. Remember last week, we flipped the script on everybody on what the word confess means. Y'all remember that? And believe, them two words do not, wow, they got a lot of definition in them two words. We got notes if you need them from last week. Filled, the Greek word is, plero. I can't pronounce it exactly right. I'm no Greek theologian, I guess you would say it, or pronunciations of Greek. I can't do it. But plero means to replete. It means to cram, to level up, to furnish, which means to influence, to satisfy, to execute, to finish, to verify, to accomplish, afterwards, or after means complete, end, expire, to fill, to make full, to fully preach. I love that one. To perfect and to supply. Now, hallelujah. I could go in about 80 different ways this morning. I'm going to try to stay on track. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to stay on the right track here. You see, when we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, correct? He comes to dwell in us. That's how Jesus comes. But you see, there's something else. There's something else that we have to have the complete filling of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, when we accept Jesus, yes, Jesus is living in our heart, but do we have everything? Is that possible? Yes, if at that point we say, Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me with everything you got, and you want to receive the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit at that point, then that is perfectly fine. Amen. And it comes right there. But there is an actual one where you say, Jesus, or Holy Father, I want the Holy Spirit to fill me completely up to the top right now, and I want all of what you have for me. I want all of my gifts. I want everything that you have for me in my life at this point. Can you say amen? Acts 1:8, I want you to go there. We're about to break it down. Can you say hallelujah? Man, y'all ain't loud enough. I'm doing all the screaming. What's up with that? And some of you are still thinking, man, this dude's crazy. This dude's crazy. Acts 1:8. Come on. That's me. I'm psycho. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You will receive power. Power, power, power. We're finna break that word down, the word power. We're gonna break it down. Listen to this. It comes from the Greek word dynamis. Dynamis, which means force, specifically miraculous powers. This is in the concordance, ability, abundance, meaning might, mightily or mighty, mighty deed, worker of miracle, power, strength, violence. I love that one. There's scripture in John that says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent taketh by force. Come on. It's one of my favorite verses. I love that one. The violent taketh by force. Amen. Not the pew sitters. The violent, wonderful work. The word dynamis, this word, listen to this, this word, the word dynamis is the exact same word that we get our word dynamite from. Does that sound like somebody that's just a little bit filled? Dynamite, power, full, all the way up to the top, popping, walking around, slapping on somebody, popping them, doing some miracles. That's what it said, miracles, amen, popping on them with some dynamite. Can you say, there we go, I'm getting some smiles now, y'all waking up. Popping on them, that's what it means. It's the worst. That's exactly what it means to be full, completely full of the Holy Ghost, amen? We got to be walking in the Spirit on a daily basis. We got to be full of what all of Jesus had. We're complete in Him, right? Amen. But if we're complete in Him, that means we got to have all of Him. It's our job to ask. What does the next thing right there say? What makes dynamite blow up? Huh? You can't go ahead, you cheated. She read on down. What makes a dynamite blow up? What's inside dynamite that makes it blow up? Powder. Somebody said it. The powder. There's powder in there. You can light a fuse, but no power and that ain't going to blow up. It's the powder. The powder that's inside that dynamite that blows up. But if you just grab that dynamite out of the box and you throw it, did it blow up? Nope. Somebody has to activate that thing. Or it can be one of those long fuses where you push the button and it blows it up. Somebody had to activate that thing. Somebody has to activate the dynamite, right? Who is that? You! Hallelujah! That's you! We possess the Spirit upon salvation, but we must make a decision to activate the Spirit in our life. You see, that's that point where we ask Him, we say, Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me. I want you to fill me. And you see, whether, like I said, whether you believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit, the second baptism, or whether you believe in Spirit upon salvation, and whether it's right there and you receive it all, but there does come a point when Jesus said that you just ask and He'll give it to you. Then that's the point today when you say, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, fill me today. I want to be completely filled. I want all of my gifts. I want to be dynamite. Can somebody say amen? I want to be dynamite. I want to walk around popping when literally when somebody walks by me, they go, dude, did you just pop your gum? Huh? Did, we I'm about to make y'all crack up. I was watching a YouTube video of my little niece and nephew, and this little boy was walking through the library with that little poop thing or fart thing, what they call it. The little thing, you know what I'm talking about? And he was walking past people in the library, and he'd go, and these people were just looking at him. See, I'm hallelujah. When you walk past people and they'll go, dude, not Putin, but did you just pop, amen? Because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're walking around and people's popping off when they go past you. Amen. You're so filled that people get laid out in the Spirit. Can you laugh with me this morning? Come on. If we're filled with the Spirit, we're full of joy. We're walking around past people, man, and they know without a shadow of a doubt that we're filled with the Spirit of God. That we're not just somebody that got saved. And yes, the joy of the Lord comes upon anybody. Amen. And we are happy upon salvation. And we're full of joy. There's no doubt about it. But there's something else when the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you on a daily basis. And you lead every decision of your life to the Holy Ghost. Which is leading it to who? Jesus. Why the Holy Spirit is to edify Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? I think I might have left out 100 things getting too excited. Whew, that thing popped. Living a life of being Spirit-filled is yielding every decision to the Holy Spirit. Every decision in your life. You know, I was at Teen Challenge and I was praying about the Holy Spirit and trying to, I wanted to understand completely what He was going to do to me when I was filled with it. What was going to happen? Because I'd heard all these stories and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I need all that, man. He might flip me upside down one day. I don't know what's going to go on. But I began to search and research and study about the Holy Spirit. And one night I was laying in my bed. I'm going to tell you a few stories here. One night I was laying in my bed. And I was reading Gifts of the Spirit by Lester Sumrall. Gifts of the Holy Spirit by Lester Sumrall. Fantastic book. Great book. Breaks it down. Scripture and shows it. I'm reading that book and I'm laying in my bed. And I was at Teen Challenge right across from Melissa's office in my room. It used to be right there by that bathroom. And I'm laying in my bed and I'm reading that book. And I just put that book down. I was reaching over to turn off my light. And I heard something. It sounded like a big diesel truck driving right outside my window. And I thought, what? There's no way a diesel truck is outside this place. And I looked out the window. There's nothing out there. And I'm like, dude, I ain't going crazy. I know I heard something. And so then I sit there real quiet because I'm like, okay, somebody could be coming to mess with it. You know, we got 40 guys up there. Could be somebody sneaking out. I don't know what it was. So I'm like, okay. So I sit real quiet. And then I heard it again. I flipped open the blind. Nothing out there. And I was like, all right, dude, this is crazy. It happens again, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go find out what's going on. I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to find out what's going on. I didn't need to get up. You see, about that time, man, when I lay back in my bed, it was real quiet. And this wall and the wall behind me just began to shake like that. It was not loud. It was not stuff falling off the wall. It just began to shake. And at the first moment, the first thing in my mind was, what is going on? Earthquake. Something's happening. But then all of a sudden, something came over my body about an inch from my whole entire body and rested upon me. And I knew what it was. I just had a visitation from my God. There was no doubt about it, what had just happened to me. I was seeking Him. I was praying. I wanted to know His power. I wanted to know these things. And you know what? Ultimately, all it come down to is the fact that I just had to make up my mind to ask Him. Just make up my mind to ask Him to fill me up. I want everything You have for me, Lord. I want all of it. Every little thing that You have for me in my life. All my gifts, all my talents, all the power that Jesus had that He said we can have. I want to be filled up. You see, He rested upon me, man, and it was the greatest feeling ever in my life. And I thought to myself, please, please don't doubt. Don't move, don't doubt, don't move. And Satan whispered, and it was gone. That quick. I mean, it lasted about 12, 13 seconds maybe. That quick. But I knew it was Him, and it was not, I couldn't move. Even if I wanted to raise my hand, I couldn't move. It was like a wall had just been put over me, but it was the most peaceful, wonderful, greatest wall ever in my life. And I doubted. One second, He was gone. But I knew. I'd just been touched, and I wasn't going to stop. Amen. I was never going to go back, and I could never deny the fact of what just happened to me. I could never deny the fact of the Holy Spirit at work in my life because I was saved and I was on fire. Can you be on fire without being filled with the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. People can be in love with Jesus all day long because you have the Holy Spirit in you, amen? But there's a certain aspect of it to being more, amen? That's what the word filled means, to be completely filled up, to be complete. Let's listen, go back and read over it. It says to be complete. I love the one to fully preach, amen? To verify, to satisfy, to execute, to finish, To complete, to expire, to fill, to make full. That's what he's talking about, to be completely full. You see, I was on fire and I was excited about the Lord, man, but there was just a certain level in my maturity with the Lord that just went sky high, rocketed, okay? And I was walking around sensitive as ever. I would walk past a little bitty gum wrapper on the ground. I'd walk 10 feet and I would go, I'm not picking that up. And I'm like, who's talking to me? I'm not going to pick that up, Lord. That's 10 feet back there. I got to walk back down the hill. I'd get another 2 feet, and I'd go back and pick that gum up. Y'all think I'm crazy. I'm dead serious, man. Melissa was talking about it the other night. Everything you did, I walk out of up there. I walk out of the restroom. I'll leave the light on, and I'll get 100 feet away. I'll get down here to the church, and I'm like, man, I left the light on. It ain't to save parts because the Holy Ghost convicted me about it, and I was being so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that I'm listening to everything he's saying. You see, that's when our life begins to just explode in the things of the Lord, amen? And we begin to know exactly when to pray for somebody. Me and Mom talk about it all the time. She said, I just drove by this lady at the store, man. I knew I had to get out and pray for her, and she does. And this lady's life changed forever, amen? Walking in the Spirit of God. How can you say that's His will? Because it's His will that none should perish, amen? For walking in the Spirit, we're saving souls, amen? We're doing the work of the Lord. Is everybody with me this morning? I want to go to Galatians real quick, and we're going to get some prayer on. Galatians 5:16, evidence of walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand. Excuse me, I lost my play. There we go. Just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen? Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, love. Amen? Love. These are evidence of the Spirit in our life. Amen? Now, am I patient all the time? Bible said let patience have its perfect work, okay? I ain't perfect, amen? I'm getting there, amen? It's a daily process until I get to heaven. We'll finally be there, amen? But patience is a tough one with me. Long-suffering, amen, patience, kindness and goodness, being good to one another, kindness, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll know the evidence of somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about that, man, I could get condemned so bad for saying some of the things I say about denominations, but I'm not talking about denominations, I'm just talking about everybody in general, amen. But some of them, man, I know, I see somebody Spirit-filled, man, and there's just so much more in their life. That's when I talk to some of my family when they're like, Scott, why, there's no such thing as a second baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as, you know, the spiritual gifts anymore and all that. And I'm like, why would you not want it to be? Why would you not want it to be? It's so wonderful. Look at what happened to my life the day that I said, okay, I receive it. I ask you, Lord, to give it to me. And then from that point on, man, I was walking dynamite. Why would you not want that in your life? It's real simple. You know, some say it is and it ain't. Well, won't. Take a shot at it. Just try and see. Come on. It's going to be like, you know, what's that Reese's pie stuff that I love so much? Or pretzels and mustard. My papa said, don't knock it till you try it. I tried and loved it. Amen. Still eat it to this day. Love me some pretzels and mustard. Don't knock it till you try it. Amen. Give him a chance. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill me today. I'm believing today at Verse 7 Ministries, the church at Verse 7, you're going to fill me up to the top. I'm going to be complete in you today. The Holy Spirit's going to fill me. I'm going to walk out of here walking stick of dynamite, setting people on fire, amen, watching the Holy Ghost working through my life. And today's the day I believe the Holy Spirit's going to make you complete. Amen? But we must make a decision to activate the Spirit in our lives. I said earlier, the feel of my spirit this summer, or I don't know. You know, you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. There's no doubt about that. Scripture's plain in that. And like I said, whether you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, second baptism, whether you believe you just possess Him one time and that's it, you still make a decision at some point to receive all He has for you and to walk in it. And which way you believe, it still takes Him to make you walk right. Amen. It's the only way. That's the second thing in God's will, is to make that decision. You're going to be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. And, you know, I guess that was the, I try to, even as in the class we're up there teaching, we're teaching that way. This is what this denomination believes, because we have, up there, we're made up of people from different denominations, Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Assembly of God. We're made up of different denominations. I want them to know what they were raised in. A lot of them don't even know why they believe the way they believe. And so we're dissecting every belief about it, amen? And I'm not crazy enough to believe that my way is exactly the way it is, amen? That's my convictions and our church's conviction, but I'm not bold enough to sit here and say, this is the way that it is, because the Scripture leaves ways, amen? That's why we have denominations. So, but there is one thing that I can say, this is the way that it is, that you must be Spirit-filled. Whether it's the day that you get saved or whether the second baptism, whatever you believe, you must be Spirit-filled. The Scripture says that plain, amen, to walk in God's will. So I just pray that you today, if you've denied the Holy Spirit, that you would go home and ask Him. You can ask Him yourself at home, amen. Just fill me up. Make me complete. Make me full. It's nothing you have to beg for. My searching was just because I wanted to know what I was getting into. I wanted to know what I was about to be touched with, and I got it. Okay, I got it. And it wasn't long after that, John and I, we were in Decatur, and I think Jessica was there as well, maybe. We prayed for that young girl, and I had seen healings, and I had seen people get healed. I had prayed with people, but not literally my hands touched anybody, but I believe that was one of the first ones, one of the first one or two there. After that had happened in my bedroom that night, we were at Decatur, and we went through that haunted maze up there, and we got done, and it's 12 o'clock at night. We didn't have a clue that that place was put on by an Assembly of God church, and we didn't have a clue, but it was, and so we ended up fellowshipping and singing and worshiping out there at like 12:30 at night, and this girl walks up, and her leg is completely black and blue from her ankle to her knee, just broke, mangled, messed up. She had stepped in a hole, and her leg was so messed up, couldn't walk. And me and John said, well, we're going to pray for her. Believe you can be healed? And she's like, well, yeah. I'm like, no, do you really believe? And she said, yeah. And so we prayed for it. And we got done praying. I looked up. And I said, is it healed? And she said, no. I said, well, let's pray again. And we prayed again. And I said, where two or more come together. And all we did was pray scripture over her that night, man. We prayed where two or more come together and agree upon anything, it shall be done. And the blood of Jesus, by His stripes, she's healed. We were praying scripture over scripture. And when she was done, we got it on video. I don't know if Whitney and them still got it, but the video of that girl running about a 40-yard dash. She takes off running. Just, we're like, whoa, hold on. I mean, it was like, go. And she just takes off running, and we're like, can you do that again? Yeah, she does it again. She takes off running, amen. I just began to understand that the Spirit of God was working through me, and He could work through me, wanted to work through me, amen. And that healings were still possible, and miracles were still possible. And so those things were active in my life at that point. I made that decision to make them active in my life. And so I just pray that you have done that, and if not, I pray that you would go home and ask Him, or on your way home in the car, ask Him, and He will do it, I promise. He's faithful, amen. Praise God, praise God. Father, we thank You and love You, and God, we just in honor of You and glorify You. We're in awe of what You do, Father, Your power and Your touch. God, I pray that I've preached as You will today, Father, that Your word come across and pricked our hearts and pierced our hearts and changed our lives. God, if there be any confusion about it, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would make understanding. Bring understanding to the Word. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You, it is Your will that we should not perish, that we should be saved. It's Your will that we should be Spirit-filled. God, the devil, Satan, is the author of confusion, not You. We want You to bring confusion out in Jesus' name. We're thanking You for that, God. I thank You, Lord, that lives were changed today. I know they were. Father, let us walk in the Spirit today as we leave here Those that didn't come up, I'm believing because they didn't come up that they're spirit-filled and that they're walking out of here today a walking stick of dynamite. And God, they're going to be laying people out in the spirit and people are going to be healed and winning souls for the kingdom of heaven. I'm believing that, Father, walking out a stick of dynamite today, ready to be on fire. And Father, we just praying for boldness and strength in each one of them. And God, that we would bring us back next week with victory reports. Father, over the prayers that we've prayed today, we expect victory reports. Within days, we expect that, Lord. And God, we just pray that you'd be with us as we go through the week. Help us as we work with others and in the workforce. God, let us be a light and a shining light for heaven. And we thank you for that. But Father, be with us as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.